Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 171. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again for VMworld 2020 is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing glorious.
Day one.
I'm doing glorious. I'm coffeeed, but I'm in the zone.
Yeah.
We've got two of our roundtables down. I got two more to go.
Yeah.
We got two of the happy hours, but I'm feeling currently that like early event high. Like
yeah.
It's not quite yet Thursday where I'm like, where is the plane? How do I get home?
Like, yeah, exactly. I've had some great conversations already. Boy, the keynote. Did you see the keynote?
I did see the keynote. It felt like speed round because these things normally take like 3 hours.
Right?
Like,
well, yeah.
Let's do this in an hour.
Yeah.
And there was no slow burn. It's just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Lots of great conversations. If you haven't seen it, hopefully you can get it the next time it comes around, and I'm sure it'll be on demand eventually. But yeah, conversations with Nike were great. Boy, the announcements were ridiculous. So we knew about a bunch of them, and we actually captured some pre-record. So we've got some interviews for you that we're going to share today. We've got some other ones as well for the next couple of days. So we're gonna spread them out. But I thought we'd start with a couple of ones around Tanzu that came out, and so we're going to share some of those today. More specifically, Project Monterey, which is the SmartNix, really really cool stuff. As far as the rest of VMworld is going, I hope everybody's enjoying their time, getting meetings, doing sessions, and really embracing this week and getting the most out of it. Don't forget, John and I are going to be doing a virtual happy hour this evening and Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. If you want to join us, just send us an email at podcast@vmware.com and we'll send you the link. So far, first day has been pretty exciting. John, the VMware cloud disaster recovery stuff that came out of the Datrium acquisition.
Datrium.
Yeah, that's looking good. All kinds of stuff with Workspace ONE. But yeah, I mean, between this and the massive amount of launches that just came out with vSAN, vSphere, SRM, there's a whole bunch to talk about.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's going to take me a month to like wrap my head around some of this stuff, like including like the Carbon Black stuff. So
yeah,
looking forward to this stuff. And we've obviously had a lot of interviews we've been embargoing for the past week to get ready for this. There'll be more stuff that'll be dripping out this week. Encourage you guys to listen to that, but also the coming weeks. If there's some areas you want us to deep dive on, feel free to ping us on Twitter or reach out to us at podcast@vmware.com and say, I want to uber deep dive on that thing or that session, like something just blew your mind. Feel free to reach out to us. We're always looking for feedback, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We're going to keep it short and sweet. We're going to leave you with a few interviews. One with Kit Colbert, who's the CTO at Cloud Platform. He talks all about Project Monterey and everything around the vSphere Tanzu, all the updates there. And then we also spoke to Lee Caswell, VP of Marketing at VMware. And he gives us a good overview of some of the things that we should be looking for this week. So take a listen to those and we'll be back tomorrow with more interviews. All right. Well, joining us now from the CTO from Cloud Business is Mr. Kit Colbert. Kit, how's it going?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome back. We've had you on a couple of times, mostly talking about Tanzu, things like that. So why don't you give us a quick update?
Yeah.
What are you up to these days?
Oh man, we got a lot going on. A lot of really exciting announcements at VMworld this year. It's been this nice sort of kind of cadence of announcements over the last few years, I feel like. You know, we were really excited last year when we announced Project Pacific.
Yeah.
And this ability to deeply integrate Kubernetes into vSphere and just all of the benefits that could bring to our customer base, to IT ops, to developers. And then, releasing Project Pacific first as VMware Cloud Foundation with Tanzu, and then just a couple of weeks ago as vSphere with Tanzu, giving, again, more options on how to consume that. And so then, I feel like we're following up this year with sort of the next steps of those announcements. And so if you think about Pacific as really rethinking the consumption layer of vSphere and kind of a fundamental re-architecture there to enable that, what we announced this year with Project Monterey is very complementary in the sense of rethinking the hardware architecture. So the way to think about this is that Pacific kind of enabled these next generation applications to run much more seamlessly, more natively on top of vSphere and VCF. What that does is it creates unique hardware challenges and constraints. You see these apps driving more network utilization. You see things like the need for specialized accelerators. You see a lot of operational complexity for managing all that. Security issues happening there. So Monterey is really focused on rethinking the underlying hardware architecture to better support all these new apps.
Okay, yeah. And how does it do that? I mean, at a high level.
Yeah. I could go on for hours on this one. It's really, really interesting. Fundamentally, what Monterey leverages is a new technology called SmartNIC. And so SmartNIC is, like its name says, a NIC, except it's got a general purpose CPU on it. So what this means is that we can now take a lot of the processing that we had to do on the core server CPUs on the x86 side and move those off to the SmartNIC. And so this is things like network I/O processing, storage I/O processing, a lot of the security that we do. And so, you know, very concretely, what we're doing is, in fact, running ESXi on the SmartNIC. So this is kind of mind-blowing, right? Because now there's actually two copies of ESX on a single physical server.
Yeah.
And you know, we actually demoed this last year. We had a SmartNIC demo that Greg Lavender did at the end of the keynote, I think the day one keynote at VMworld. And so we showed the kind of a single physical server, actually. I think it had like four SmartNICs in it. So you had like a whole five ESXi host cluster on a single physical host. And that was just to kind of demo it. What we're coming back around with this year is saying, hey, like, we are actually taking it a step further and looking at, here's what the architecture looks like, here's what the use cases look like, here's what the benefits look like. And so because that SmartNIC's there, it allows us to really rethink our ESXi architecture, where we can move NSX, vSAN, host management functionalities that used to be done on the core CPU server, server CPU, I should say, out to the SmartNIC. And so that is beneficial for many reasons. It allows it to be much faster there on the SmartNIC. It's right there in line with the I/O traffic, and it frees up the x86 cycles for your applications.
No, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because, I mean, it's great if we add these software-defined storage, the software-defined networking, but if we use 95% of the CPU for that and all we leave you is room for half a container, like, congratulations, we built a storage array, we built a firewall. Like, there's no point to hyperconverge or any of these things we're doing if we don't leave the CPU free to do stuff. And as we scale from a lot of people, we might still be at 10 gig today in their data centers, and we start going to 100 gig and, you know, terabit networking. I mean, serious, you know, concerns about this. CPU overhead of all this is just going to go nuts.
You're absolutely right. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Now, we're not seeing it for all customers. We're really seeing it for our largest customers, large enterprises, financials, telcos. They're the ones that are moving up, to 50G, 100G type architectures. And you're right that the cost of that just that overhead of processing all that data, that uses up a lot of cycles, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, by being able to deliver specialized accelerators, in this case, a SmartNIC, that can handle that burden, it drives, you know, greater performance, greater bandwidth, lower latency, and then better application performance as well. But it also allows us to do some other cool things. It's not just about performance, although that is the first use case. And by the way, it's both for networking and for storage. So another use case that we're looking at is security. Because now, you know, before we were doing, let's say, maybe network introspection, trying to understand what was happening on the wire, looking at, you know, what different applications are talking to which servers, we can offload all that to be on the SmartNIC. So it can be directly in line with the network I/O path. And thus, again, you can get great security introspection and security capabilities and enforcement, by the way, not just introspection, without any performance compromise, right? You're not trading off performance for those security capabilities.
Well, this just reminds me of some of the challenges, again, of, you know, as we try to have immutability of systems or we try to have observability of them, you start worrying of, okay, the first thing that happens if this system's compromised, it's going to take out whatever my monitoring or my capabilities are. But if the NIC is watching all the traffic leaving and saying, I think this thing's done, I'm just going to block the ports. Or alternatively, if you try to do bump in the wires, you have like fiber taps, just gets messy. You have to have a guy whose entire job is splicing, or you're like, oh, we've got this magic inspection box at the end of the rack that all the traffic has to hairpin. And suddenly, your beautiful, expensive network is throttled to whatever that magic box could do. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, I think there's a ton of applications there. And, you know, from the security angle, again, the fact that we have ESXi running on this SmartNIC on that CPU, it's not necessarily visible to the x86 side. Now, of course, because they're both ESXi, we can have them talk to each other and make that work. But you do get this kind of like hardware level of isolation. An extra defense in depth, if you will. Not that we don't already focus on securing our hypervisor. Of course we do. But now we get an extra defense in depth against any sort of issues that might happen there.
It's like more bare metal than bare metal.
Well, so thank you for bringing up bare metal, because that's the other example I wanted to talk about. So the idea here is that because we have ESXi running on the SmartNIC, and now it can manage all outgoing I/O traffic to that server, it also has some server management capabilities. So for instance, it can, you know, because it's running there on the network link, it can, you know, do pixie booting to that server, to that x86 side. It can deliver whatever guest OS image you want. That's not a guest OS, it's a bare metal OS. So by default, of course, we will have the ESXi image that we deliver to the x86 side. It boots up ESX. But there's no reason we couldn't support Windows or Linux either, right? I think that's like the really important point here, is that we can now deliver bare metal operating systems and manage those within ESX, within vSphere, within VCF. Now, of course, they are like VMs in many ways, that you can lifecycle manage them and this sort of stuff. You can't vMotion them yet. You can't do everything, right? Because there still is that bare metal component. But we can deliver NSX and storage capabilities. We can deliver vSAN to it. We can deliver all the networking capabilities and the security capabilities there as well. So it's really, really interesting, because now it starts opening up bare metal support on top of vSphere, on top of VCF, something I think a lot of people didn't think was possible.
Yeah.
But because of these hardware innovations, we can do.
So this has been mentioned as part of Monterey. We've heard that announced today. So
yeah.
What does that mean to the customer now? So what do they need to actually take advantage of this?
So we're just at the beginning here. So what we announced officially was a technical preview, right? So we have a lot of this stuff in-house, and we're kind of working on it and can continue to evolve it, making it ready for production, working closely with our hardware partners to make it all a reality. Customers can't get it yet, though, right? It's a tech preview. But we are looking forward to working closely with customers to get their feedback on the design. So I think a couple of key things. Number one, we want to hear your feedback. You know, what are the key use cases for you? The kind of data center re-architecture that we can imagine here from this, how does that impact customers? What are their top priorities? What should we be focused on first, and the requirements behind that? So that's number one. Number two, you know, we're really encouraging customers to get started on their journey toward Monterey. Again, it's not available yet, but it will be. But there's a lot of stuff available today, right? So we're going to be doing Monterey within the VMware Cloud Foundation structure and framework. And so starting with VMware Cloud Foundation, huge first step there. Project Pacific, we talked about, VCF with Tanzu. Now that's available now. So let's get started with that and start modernizing these applications. And so in this way, it's like a good glide path for customers to be on, so that when we do get Monterey out there, customers can take advantage of it seamlessly, because they'll already have the scaffolding set up properly.
Well, see, this is just wild, because we got on one hand app modernization much farther up the stack. The other, I've got like visions in my head of how to iPixie from like over the internet a bare metal mainframe or something wacky. Like there's just, there's so much data center, you know, management capabilities here. This is cool.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So very, very exciting stuff. And again, you know, we really see it as a second step after Pacific, right? Yeah. Pacific rethought the top half of VCF, if you will, the consumption layer. Monterey rethinks the bottom half, the hardware architecture layer, and again, allows us to do some really cool stuff there.
I like it. I like it. And you've got a couple of sessions. I know that they're relevant to Monterey. Let's see. I think I saw three sessions for you. And your sessions are different. They're not on demand. They're actually live, so or pseudo live.
Yeah.
So they're scheduled, correct?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different sessions. Hard to keep, even for me, hard to keep them all straight. So yeah, so we've got the Data Center of the Future session, and that's, you know, there's one on Tuesday, two on Wednesday, I think, and they're all at random times. Like some are good for the U.S., some are early or late for the U.S., and yeah, that's to kind of get broad, you know, worldwide coverage. We want EMEA, APJ to have good times there as well. Now, we actually did pre-record that session, so that's already locked in, but we will be live, myself and Perry Monclus, who's the CTO for NSBU, we'll be live on there to answer questions and to handle Q&A. So while we won't be, you know, live on screen, we'll be live on the keyboard, happy to engage with you. So please check out those sessions.
We'll do it live!
You'll do it live, yeah.
There we go. We do have a fully live panel discussion happening, actually a few of them. So one of them, myself included, along with both Dell and NVIDIA. And so there we'll be talking a lot about how we're working together to bring Project Monterey to life. And so that'll be a live panel discussion. It'll actually be us all live on video, I believe. So again, we'll be there to have a good debate and then answer your questions. And then finally, there's another live panel discussion, also focused on this next generation infrastructure, a bit more generic, focused around just the SmartNIC technology. What can be done there? So we'll have folks from a bunch of different partners of ours. So besides ourselves, again, we'll have Dell, we've got Lenovo, HPE, a few of these systems OEM partners of ours who are, you know, really critical to bringing all this to life. So there's a lot of really good content out there, very packed, even though VMworld's, I think, only, you know, 2 or 3 days this year compared to a full week like normal. We've really packed in the content. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, it is pretty insane. And I'm interested to see how those panels go because, you know, obviously any panel you would encourage good questions from the audience. So you guys are there to just field that content. So that should be interesting. I'm definitely going to try to attend that one. And I promise I'll only ask good questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think the whole thing, this whole virtual conference thing, is still a bit of an experiment this year, right? We got to figure it out. So, but it's exciting. And, you know, even though not there in person, I'm still really energized about this week, right? I feel like there's a lot of excitement and really looking forward to engaging with folks in these live sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kit, that's good stuff. We're going to try to attend your sessions. I will leave links on the show notes of this to all the sessions and the panels, et cetera. I hope you enjoy the rest of your VMworld week, and I appreciate you coming on with us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, joining us on day one, VMworld 2020, Mr. Lee Caswell, VP of Marketing in VMware. Lee, welcome back.
I'm so glad to be here. Best meeting of the week.
Yeah. This is different. This is an exciting week. There's so much going on. And we purposely waited until after all the announcements today, because I know there's a lot of cool stuff to talk about. And I don't really want to have to stifle you, you know, with all of these private things. So now everything's public as of Tuesday today. What are you excited about today?
Well, you know, what's really interesting, I love it when VMware leans into things that should be scary. You think about this for a minute, right? You know, a year ago, right, we really were looking at containers. And, you know, I think there was some initial pundits who were like, wow, you know, containers are the end of VMware, the end of virtualization.
Yep.
And, you know, what we found out to be true, right, was that the container craze almost, right, if you will, right, about developing new apps, or it was about the speed of how fast you could develop apps. And it turned out that that was complementary to the ability to deploy them in a responsible manner. And so being able to deploy them on like enterprise resilient infrastructure, right, that what we started with, now remember, that was a year ago, that was Project Pacific, right? Now the Pacific Ocean is very broad, like big, right? And so the idea was, hey, we're going to go and do some, you know, material like investment in re-architecting vSphere directly, right? Of integrating Kubernetes, right? In a way that brought this new capabilities. And then over the year, Project Pacific kind of faded to black as the products came out, right? The Tanzu portfolio, vSAN with Tanzu, VCF with Tanzu, vSphere with Tanzu, right? Just announced. So those announcements, right, were about this, hey, how do we bring these applications? Now, what we have is this raging inflow of new applications, and that's leading us to Project Monterey.
Oh, yeah.
So Monterey, that's a canyon, right?
Well, yeah, Monterey's a lot of, but in this case, yes, in keeping with our nautical theme, John, right? Yeah. So, you know, we're going broad with Pacific. Now we're going deep in the canyon. And yeah, the canyon is like, the nice thing about the canyon, I don't know if you know, guys know this, right? But so the canyon is only a mile offshore. That's why it's such a, you know, a great study place, is because you can get to it and you can access it really easily, number one. And then it's also a mile deep or something like that, right? Mm. And so it's this font of like great discovery. And that's why we thought this was a great name for taking this second phase of re-architecting vSphere and our complete VMware Cloud Foundation for new applications. Because the idea was this, right? That now we have to go from just the software stack re-architecture to really looking at new hardware architectures. And the hardware architectures, right, that we're looking at basically are responding to the change in application where there's more CPU demands all the time from the apps. And yet at the same time, we've got more demands on the CPUs from all non-app type of things, right? Hypervisors, for example, and distributed security models, right? It turns out like a distributed firewall can use up a lot of those precious CPU cycles. Absolutely. So with Monterey, there's this cool idea of a smart NIC, right? An offload, if you will, right? That now integrates this VMware Cloud Foundation, right? In a way that gives you more free cycles to do more things with those precious CPUs.
Well, and this whole idea of the, you know, the security offload, particularly on things like encryption. I mean, this is stuff that 20 years ago, everything in the data center was just in clear text. It was flying around clear text. It was stored in clear text.
Right.
And, you know, then like, okay, we got self-encrypting drives and we've slowly chiseled forward. And the requirements for, you know, not only of what we could do, but what we have to do because of compliance and things like that. There seems to be this weird balance to where like, okay, we can't require a bunch of stuff that's going to increase cost 2,000-fold. But as the capabilities evolve, the compliance shows shows up. Sometimes the compliance drives it. Sometimes the compliance shows up because we, you know, because we finally made it possible to encrypt these things. So this is exciting.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of trends that I'm seeing. Number one is we used to worry about north-south traffic, right? Oh, yeah. That was kind of a perimeter-based security model. Was like, hey, if you can't get in, everything's good, right?
Yeah. Now keep them outside and we're safe.
Exactly, right? And so now instead, right, the east-west traffic in these distributed server-based systems becomes critical in terms of how you basically build a new security model. And what that means is now, you know, you can't actually just put a couple of like SmartNICs and a couple of servers, for example. You need to manage this entire environment. And things like distributed firewalls, right, now becomes basically infinitely scalable. It's really cool, right? So that's one thing. Second one is pretty interesting, right, is the idea that if you're running the infrastructure on an offloaded, you know, some people call these DPUs even, right, data processing units. If you're running that, now all of a sudden you can actually have the infrastructure be air-gapped or a zero-trust environment from the application itself.
Yeah, the computer is compromised, but there's this completely isolated computing instance on the NIC. It's not going to compromise that necessarily.
Yeah, so now this is the stunning part. For the very first time, basically VMware infrastructure value can extend to bare metal.
Look at that.
Think about that, right? So now we can go and basically take and manage bare metal, and you can access all of the VMware value all the way from, you know, now this starts probably with ESXi or you know, our compute, but you can see other elements of this, particularly networking and security and encryption elements, right, being offloaded as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how we go and bring our value and open up a new market.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Well, within the ecosystem, just that was always a challenge sometimes when you talk about like, hey, we can provide this complete end-to-end visibility, complete security story. And then people said, well, but I've got these three physical servers in the corner. And we're like, go buy a point solution or, you know, that's, right. You know, go physically bolt a firewall to that, you know, weird Oracle thing in the corner. But
right.
No, this definitely brings it forward.
Well, this is part of the value that you're going to see and fairly consistent, right, is VMware has always been about consolidating management so you can do more things. Ever from the first time of like consolidating physical servers, right? Which sounded scary at first to the server suppliers, but what they found was it exploded server usage, right? As now you could basically go and manage with vMotion, which turned into DRS and HA, right? And FT, right? All the components here. So that broke open the barriers, right? Of how servers could go and be deployed and becoming virtual in that sense. And now we're doing the same thing, right, across with storage, right? And not just HCI, by the way, right? vVols, this, you know, big tick up in vVols adoption and partners is because now that vSAN is so well established at our customers are asking us, hey, how do you consolidate management across HCI, right, and storage?
Right.
So yeah. We're now providing, that's where vVols is coming in, where customers are like, that's the easy button. And vVols, importantly, by the way, don't lose fact that it's like that vVols is now supported in VCF.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So the VMware Cloud Foundation picked that up. I mean, Pete, you were excited about that, right?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's been a big thing. Well, for one, vVols, we've been excited about for a long time. It's one of those things where you just waited for the industry to truly appreciate this thing. You know, it takes a while sometimes. And now that we see so many of our storage vendors, you know, really embracing the product and the storage policy based management. Yeah. And now I was so excited when I saw VMware Cloud Foundation was now considering vVols like a first class citizen, if you will, you know, being
exactly.
able to provision workload domain, workload domains with vVols is just pretty exciting.
Yeah. So this is one of the things where I think what we're showing with Monterey, right, is this continued thrust where VMware has got you covered wherever you're likely to go.
Right.
Right. So if you think about like, you know, we have customers who are like, hey, listen, I'm not doing the hybrid cloud. But if I did, like I could go and basically go and not just to one cloud, but to multi-cloud.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm running traditional VMs today. But, you know, I see that we're starting to build up separate infrastructure to run basically container-based workloads, bare metal, like really, like, or, you know, can I go and basically assimilate that? So what I think is interesting is we're providing just kind of a never-ending career path for the vSphere admin.
I completely
right?
agree.
I mean, John, think about it, right? We used to be storage people or server people. And now, like, what don't you need to know about? Like, you need to know about servers. And not just servers, but like down to the compute and new media types and new silicon types. You need to know about virtualization. You need to know about networking, about storage, about cloud, about new virtual. This is a lot for customers, right?
Yeah, well, but the thing is the more you can bring all of these different resources under one management model, the more efficiency you can drive. And going to kind of the, what is it, the Jevons paradox of the more efficient you make a resource, that doesn't mean you just use less of it. That actually means there becomes net more uses, so the consumption actually goes up. Like, you know, the more efficient we got at burning coal or burning gasoline, the more we use. So it's the same thing is going to happen in data centers. And so it's the more we can bring all of this under one common tent of management and policy, kind of our evil plan in the data center here, the more applications and containers and things that will spawn and get created.
It's exciting to see VMware going in so many different directions. And VMworld is definitely the place where we highlight that, right? You know, we've been talking to folks, you know, about AI and machine learning. We've been talking to folks about Skyline. And VMware is doing so many cool things. But it's also cool to see that some of the things that have been our bread and butter for so long, like DR, that we've even still invested in massive acquisition to make that just like a complete story. On-premises, cloud, different types of immediate, zero RTO, like your choice, your price point, and just have a simplified replication. I'm excited that we can finally talk a little bit about what that Datrium acquisition brought to the table.
Yeah, the Datrium product, now renamed VMware Cloud DR or VCDR, is really opening up customers' eyes, and actually it's a great start all the way. And so announced here, right, is the ability now on a SaaS model, right, to go and be able to deploy DR as a service and do it in a relatively efficient way, right? I mean, this has always been interesting. The way I think about this, by the way, is that, you know, if you go back to vMotion, right, if you think about vMotion for a minute, what vMotion did is it changed the way that server maintenance was done. That was kind of the very first thing. And server maintenance used to be, if you remember, you'd have to buy a server that was equally configured, place all the application on it, right? You'd kind of move it, migrate it, power down the first one and migrate, you know, basically maintain the first, you know, the first server. And
outage then window.
Right. And these were like high risk, expensive, you know, kind of like weddings and funerals, right? Really difficult. And, you know, oftentimes organized by people who like just didn't do it all the time. But once vMotion came about, now it became the standard, right? And so because of that, right, the ability to go and basically dynamically move, that led to DRS, right, as we were talking about, where now I could basically move for like load balancing reasons, or FT right around. And so I see the same opportunity for DR. DR today is kind of a once in a while, right? And testing is brutal, by the way, if you've ever tested DR systems, then generally like, you only find out it doesn't work when, you know, in a crisis, right?
So Schrodinger's DR. You have Schrodinger's DR. It might work, it might not, but we don't know until we can run a test.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be the DR person. Yeah. So but now just think about it, right? If you eliminate the need for all this CapEx on a dedicated DR site and instead can go and do testing on an as required basis into the hybrid cloud.
Right.
Now you've got the opportunity to go and do this on a testing basis, real time. And basically now it becomes a little bit like you start thinking, hey, maybe I start moving things like on a regular basis. Maybe I start like doing failover and maintenance and things like that. I think our VCDR product and the fact that it's so cost effective and easy to use and cloud first, cloud integrated, means that customers are going to use this as a way to get started with the hybrid cloud and figure out then how you could go and deploy more fully all the key value that we have with a common stack, right, with the VMware Cloud Foundation.
Nice. So many things. I don't want to steal all your time, but I know there's a lot of really cool things going on this week. You know, things that, you know, you apparently can talk so easily with by bouncing a ping pong ball and then fully announcing stuff. I'm pretty impressed at some of your skills, by the way.
It turned out like the bouncing the ping pong ball was not the hard part. The hard part was saying like storage. What was it? Sorry. See, yeah, I was trying to say, you know, like services and, you know, partner, man, that was the part that tripped me up one, two or three times. So I think it was four takes, but not too many.
But yeah, you were talking about a partner panel, some of our new partners, and that's something that people can now see this week at VMworld.
This is going to be fun, right? So what we have is the new applications that we're doing, you know, applications that we started were all block-based. Right. And then, you know, we started by adding files. Now, it turned out like 50% of our customers were running files initially, but running them on single mount point nodes where they weren't protected by the underlying protection, right, of vSAN. And so now with our scale out file system, or you've got now a common namespace, right, that spans across node boundaries. That started with NFS. Now we've introduced with SMB3. That's pretty exciting. So blocks to files, what's left?
Objects.
And so, and you know, S3 compliance, right? And so if you think in that right now, our partnership that we have with MinIO, with Cloudian, and with the early access to the Dell EMC object scale, right? This gives us a path. Now, what's interesting is this is a tight integration, right? There's an API integration between the products, right? So that we're basically making sure that you've got a seamless integration and that you're not doubling up on efficiency across nodes, right? And so this is a really interesting way for customers to get access to object. And if we have time, I can talk about DataSax too, because NoSQL databases are coming along.
We've got plenty
of time. Yeah, no, I love the talk of no RAID on RAID and, you know, right, getting the best performance and the best availability without compromise here. But yeah, let's hear what about NoSQL?
Yeah, so NoSQL is interesting. You know, so some of you know, right, like I came from Fusion.io at one time, yes, right? And so Fusion.io, if you think about it, like that was basically like Flash in a server.
Yep.
Right. And then, you know, it was a NetApp and that was Flash shared. Right? And then HCI became Flash shared and consolidated. Right. But the downside of that was, you know, many of these NoSQL and, you know, scale out databases were built on the idea that you'd have fallible individual bare metal servers. Right. And that the app, basically the replication or that the data persistence, right, was provided by the application. And so that's cool. But the problem was now you'd have like a nested protection scheme, right? You'd have application level protection and you'd have protection from the vSAN layer.
Right.
The way that we've built this, right, so that you can basically now take advantage of through vSAN Direct, right, the ability to go and orient towards individual nodes is really in, you know, that's core innovation, right, around being able to go and make sure that we're not taking the RAID on RAID penalty, right, John, that you were mentioning. So that's an exciting way to go and bring these technologies together, you know, even though architecturally they were originally set for different design points.
That's right, yeah. It seems like vSAN, you know, in the bigger picture of VMware Cloud Foundation, but it truly seems like the use cases from the early days to now, it just keeps spreading and spreading.
Well, and it's growing like a weed, right? You know, like, you know, 100 customers a week right now. And yeah, there's some debates around market share and things like that that are kind of funny to watch. We're not commenting too much on that because we're the obvious leader. And so,
yeah.
but it is interesting watching other people try and figure out like what's happening here. And so my view is this, right? When the penny drops for customers who realize that they can get investment protection, in other words, they can responsibly invest today and can have future protection into the hybrid cloud or for additional applications or for files and objects or new application, man, all of a sudden what you start to realize is that, listen, I'm going to take that. And now what I can do if that's all lifecycle managed by VMware and they've taken on all that work, now what I can do is I can start lifting my head up and start focusing on the apps.
Yeah.
And what we're finding, right, is the brand loyalty of a customer to a supplier today or to anybody is based on the apps that you interact with, right? If you go, which companies do you go to buy product from? Or where do you, you know, when we used to go to
the closer you are to the money printing machine, that's the closer you are to the ERP or the CRM or whatever it is that prints the money. It's closer you are to the operational, the e-commerce platform. That's where the gravity is.
Well, and as a result, what's happening is you're having like an app, you know, it's almost a full outscale war, right? So everyone's like app, right? And brand new coming in because the app can go and determine customer loyalty. And so when new apps come in, so that what your infrastructure needs to do is respond at the pace of apps. And it used to be that apps change, like CRM apps, like change every 5 years. Like that could be relatively slow.
Those days are gone.
Yeah. You know, now, like somebody comes up, hey, I got this Kubernetes app. Can you do it? And the answer with Tanzu is, yeah, I got that. Yeah. And with intrinsic security, right? That's a pretty cool story, right? So I think that's what we're talking to customers about is tell us where you want to go and we'll show you how we can help you get there with a consistent operating model that leverages the staffing that you have today, gives your team a career path, right? And lets you focus on other things that matter more.
It's a beautiful thing. Well said. Yeah.
That is good.
Man, three launches from VMware and now VMworld 2020 underway. It's an exciting time. I'm glad I got a front row seat for my house.
You know, I think, you know, in these times, and, you know, we've, you know, our hearts go out to everybody who's wrestling with how to, you know, how to live in a COVID environment, right? I mean, this is not easy. Kids going back to school, you know, how do you work for our, you know, first line responders and everything, right? I mean, people are really, you know, out helping their fellow person in, you know, brand new ways, right? And so it's really impressive, I think, you know, just to think about how we as teams and people, right, can work together. And, you know, I've been impressed by how VMware is helping customers along with that, and maybe through the VMware Cloud Foundation, freeing them up to like spend some time on other things that are even more important, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, I've been in tech for a while, much like the two of you on this call. And I'll tell you, while life is crazy, I've never been more proud to be in tech. Like, there's tech for good is real, you know, things are happening, and it's really cool. You know, we've been talking EUC, we've been talking to so many different folks, and it's really cool to see that we're not just building toys, you know, like we're literally, you know, we're making life, you know, we're making life doable in a time so crazy, right?
Yep, exactly.
All right, Lee, I'm not going to take all your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your VMworld. Thanks for sharing a few minutes with us.
It's exciting to be on this show always. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for day one, VMworld 2020. We've got plenty more all week. We're going to be releasing some more tech interviews. So if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at bspeakingpodcast.com. As I said, we're back tomorrow. But until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.